guys. This is Stuart.
This is Zach.
And this is Back Row Super Show.
This is a Me episode where we talk about the things we've been doing and watching and playing and listening to and...
all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, these are a little bit more loosey-goosey because we don't have a main topic.
Yeah.
But I know I've pulled out further episodes I want to talk about. When we start talking about things, this is a way for us to kind of brainstorm future episodes and go, oh, I think this is deep enough that we could do a full hour show on something.
And then some of the topics that we talk about probably deserve 10 minutes because they're not that great.
They're not that great, but we still enjoy them because they're things that we like that we've been doing.
Yeah, and you know, it might pique your interest to investigate more about that particular topic or media or book.
Yeah. Did you want to go first?
Okay. I'll go first. So, thing I wanted to talk about was on Netflix. Netflix has a great documentary about the Fyre Festival. If you guys haven't seen it, I would I would recommend it.
So, I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about that.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about it before we started recording, but what happened apparently is that Netflix announced this documentary like 6 months ago, and then Hulu said, that's a great idea. We'll put out one a week before yours.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the Netflix documentary used kind of unknown journalists.
Yeah.
And Hulu used Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists.
Yeah.
But what I've heard is that the Netflix documentary is a better documentary because...
Really? Because I've heard the opposite. I've heard that the Hulu one's actually better.
Well, see, so and I haven't seen either, but they're both in my queue, is that the Netflix one takes a more standard journalistic approach to it, in that they don't, like, they just present what happened.
Yeah.
Whereas the Hulu one, because these are well-known journalists and the people involved are well-connected, they don't want to burn bridges, so they kind of play with kid gloves.
Huh.
So it may be more entertaining and more informative, but it's less a documentary.
Okay. Yeah, I've talked to a couple of friends who've watched both of them, and from the two friends that I talked to, they preferred the Hulu one. Unfortunately, I don't have Hulu, though I don't know if I can watch it without a subscription and, like, watch...
No, you have to... Yeah.
Yeah. So I've only watched the Netflix one. And I thought it was very informative, and it was interesting, because I'm just putting it out there, I'm not an influencer, nor was I one of the people who actually put that much interest into this Fyre Festival.
Yeah.
So it was really on my peripherals when it actually happened. Like, I didn't really know much about it. I didn't know about the grilled cheese sandwich meme. Or all the other memes that went out there?
Yeah, well, one of the funnier things, because, like, this thing was, like, a music festival.
It was, so
it was
the thing...
It was, like, $10,000 a ticket?
Yes. So the thing was, it was originally an app. It was an app called Fyre, which you could get on your phone, and it would allow you to book big-named people. You could end up, like, booking... Blink 182 or something along those lines.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a guaranteed booking, but it would allow you to sort of be able to get in contact with those bands without going through an agent or knowing somebody who knew the agent or, like, doing all of this digging around to find out how to contact these bands. You just, like, download the app, send out a recommendation or a request for a band, and they would get back to you. Maybe. Unless you're like...
Maybe.
Yeah. I want Blink 182 at my nephew's 13th birthday.
Yeah.
So that was the app. And they had a great team of smart people working on that app. But the way that they were going to, get their name out there was to have this... big music festival called the Fyre Festival, which was a disaster.
Yeah, basically the Fyre Festival, it was like $10,000 a ticket.
Yes.
You went out to this island for this music festival, but they were using FEMA tents.
Well, here's the thing. So, again, I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but they went to Escobar's Island. Yeah, who's this drug, like...
Oh, Pablo Escobar's Island? Okay.
Yeah, who was this, like, drug cartel person back in the day. So they went to this island, they bought it, and the people who sold it to them were like, don't mention Escobar's name. And the first thing that they do were like, hey, we're on this island owned by Escobar.
Pablo Escobar.
And it's amazing. This is where he, you know, did all of his drug deals and stuff like that. And they're like, we just told you not to say his name. Now we're not selling you the island. Because, again, they were in the works of buying the island. So they had to find some sort of other actual island that was like a bigger, not remote island that actually had people on it. And it was a shit show because, again, like the island that they were on didn't have like electric or couldn't run out electricity to them. There wasn't actual plumbing. They had like all this stuff happened that no one really thought about. Again, they were selling these luxury tents. Like
they were FEMA tents.
Which were leftover FEMA tents from the hurricane.
They
were in the middle of setting up the day before the concert, and it rained. All the tents were wet. All the mattresses were wet. It was crazy. But it's interesting because when they shot the promo video, they got a bunch of, like, quote-unquote influencers of the internet, like all these Instagram models and things along those lines, and they were taking pictures on their actual accounts, and they would put hashtag Firefest to, like, promote it. After all of this stuff went down, this is why you now see, like, on Twitch or on Instagram, people will have to put sponsored, like, hashtag sponsored, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just because, you know, people were thinking that these Instagram models were going to it and that they were, you know, that they knew about the Fyre Festival, where really they were just hired for like a day to do this.
Which shoot. Don't make your decisions about what you do based on what Instagram models tell you.
Yeah.
Should be the lesson.
And this was run by Ja Rule, the rapper, and yeah. And this guy named Billy.
Billy McFarlane?
No, I don't know his last name.
Oh.
But he came up with this this card called the Magnesium card, which was this, like,
metal... Oh, yeah, it was a metal card. It was like the Centurion card that Amex has.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a actual credit card. It was, like, a membership card where you could get into, like, the clubhouse, and you could take dates there, and you could go to, like, fancy restaurants and get percentages off and things along those lines. Or get into secret...
So, I was listening to another podcast, and the guy was saying that there was this article that came out before these documentaries, where, again, the tickets were like 10 grand.
Yeah.
And there was one guy there who, like, won a sponsored ticket, but he was just like, he just won a contest. Like, he was just like a blue-collar dude.
Yeah.
And so, he was just like, Nah, this is great. And they're like, why was this so great? And he goes, because I spent a week watching a bunch of rich crybabies cry about how shitty things were.
Yeah. I mean...
Which is like, good. That's hilarious. I feel like I would have the same response.
Yeah, and that was the thing, was there were a lot of memes. Like, people...
Hashtag grilled cheese.
Yeah, grilled cheese, where they were promised sushi and, like, a fine cuisine. And what they got was burnt toast with cheese on it.
And lettuce.
Yeah. And there's, like, other ones where, like, I want my arugula! I was promised arugula! But it just seemed like...
Just a shit show.
A shit show. I felt bad for the people there because, like...
Oh, I don't.
They
I haven't
had
seen
no
this documentary,
idea.
But I don't. I mean, these are people...
I know. But these are people.
But these are people that were willing to spend $10,000 on a ticket to a music festival. Like, well, there were some... If you have that much money to spend it, to go to it, then, like, I don't feel bad if you see any misfortune. I mean, maybe I'm a bad person, but, like, I don't...
Well, here's the thing is, like, there were some kids who were, like, blue-collared kids who sold a lot of their items.
And they're hopefully like, they learned an important lesson out of this.
They learned the $10,000 lesson. Well, it wasn't even... So, you would buy the ticket for $10,000.
Yeah.
But then they gave you a wristband, and they recommended you put, like, $20,000 on that wristband to spend. Because there was no internet there. So you would have to, like, load up stuff onto it. And if you put like $20,000 on this wristband before the concert was before the concert happened, that was $20,000 in their pocket that they could spend on this concert, which was already a shit show and eating up all this sort of money. It's very interesting. I would recommend watching it. I thought it was a good documentary. Yeah. I thought it gave a lot of interesting perspectives because they talked about a lot of the workers on the island working on this this concert, like building the stage and stuff like that, and none of them got paid for their like work that they did. So they started like coming to this house where all of the people were running it were, and they're like, "Where's our money? Where's the money, Lebowski?"
Yeah,
and then they started worrying that like people were going to start kidnapping people or hurting people for money. So
it's a bunch of rich kids on an island. Like,
well, this was the Fyre Festival organizers.
Yeah.
That they were like kind of threatening and stuff like that. And then there's this hilarious story that is strange because, well, you'll have to watch it. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, this is really prevalent with, apparently, in the past couple of years, there have been a lot of anime cons that were started up specifically to bilk people out of money and then cancel and then never happen so that people get...
Really? Anime cons?
Yeah. Like, especially outside of LA and places like that.
Interesting.
There's also a very famous one called DashCon. DashCon. Look it up. It was a Tumblr-based convention.
Yeah.
It is hilarious. Look it up. I think it has its own Wikipedia page, but it was a similar shit show that technically it happened, but it's just a horrible thing. So be wary when you see things that are happening the first year. Do not let your fear of missing out on something lead you to spend thousands of dollars trying to go to something that is probably a scam.
Yeah, and there's always red flags that you can check for.
Yeah.
One of the red flags was people were reaching out to the Fyre Festival people for, like, information on flights, information on what they need to bring since they're camping. Will these tents have, like, electrical jacks so they could put in charge their phones and stuff like that. And they kept on reaching out to the media, the social media people who were, you know, posting on their Instagram and their Facebook and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And those social media people didn't have the answers, so they started erasing people's questions. They started deleting comments.
Oh.
Yeah. And they started deleting all the bad, like, you know, people's bad comments or people's like questions. And so if you start seeing that happening, you know something's up, and you definitely need to watch out. But if you have Netflix and you have 2 hours, I would recommend this.
Yeah. So I mean, I know I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I'll
be interested to see what you thought about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially
that one weird story.
I think I know what you're talking about. But okay.
About water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. one of the movies that I watched, it's not a recent movie. It's an old Harrison Ford movie called Witness.
I have not seen that.
He's basically a detective in, I think it's Baltimore. I think he's in Baltimore. And he is, there's a little kid that witnesses a, someone who is a police officer killed in a bathroom. But he, and Harrison Ford wants to keep this witness safe because there's a lot of underhanded, shady shit going on around this police officer that was murdered. The kid and his mom are Amish. And so Harrison Ford goes out there after having been attacked and is wounded, and he kind of takes them out there to keep them safe, to take them back where they came from, and he's just like, look, I'm just going to not investigate this. And he succumbs to his wound and passes out and gets nursed back to health within this Amish community. It's a really fun movie. It's not a movie I think that they would make today because it's kind of dry and slow with a lot of action in the last like 10 minutes of the movie. It's just a really interesting,
nice slow burn,
like slow burn of like him interacting with these, Amish people. And you kind of see from another perspective of like, you know, in Pennsylvania, there are a lot of Amish communities.
I haven't really had that much interaction with, like, the Amish community.
I mean, I haven't either. I have a friend who played in a Mennonite church. Like, he was in a metal band. And Mennonites are like Amish, except I think that they're, like, they can use a car. They have refrigerators. Like, they, like, electricity is not something that they shun. But, like, like, the Amish strictly just do not have a whole lot of interaction with the modern world, as I understand it.
Are they mainly located in, like, the north?
I believe so. Okay. Because I know that the Pennsylvania is, like,
Amish rife company.
A lot of Amish in Ohio, I think, and in Pennsylvania, definitely. But, you know, there's a scene where, like, you know, there's this kind of tourist industry that's cropped up where people will come and, like, gawk at the Amish people. Because, like, they're just going to ignore you. So people will, like, take pictures with them and, like...
Take pictures with them?
Not with them, but like of them. And be like, look at these crazy people. But like, there's a scene where there's an Amish guy driving a wagon who is being harassed by these modern day youths.
Get out of my way, you modern-day youth.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, like, in the mid-80s, you could conceivably have someone who had to go to Vietnam, but the Amish were not drafted because they're conscientious objectors. And so they're being harassed by these guys who are all wearing, like, U.S. Army things. And I thought that was an interesting tidbit. But, Harrison Ford's not Amish, so he, like, beats the shit out of them. Starts a fight and beats the shit out of them. But it's interesting movie.
Would you recommend it?
I would definitely recommend it. I don't think it's one that a lot of people have seen, but it's on Amazon Prime right now, which is how I saw it. So, I recommend it if you like Harrison Ford. He's Harrison Fording all over the place.
Nice. You know? And when did this come out? Is he young Harrison Ford?
Came out in like 85.
Okay, so it's young Harrison Ford.
Younger.
Not old man Harrison Ford.
Yeah, not crotchety old man crashing planes everywhere Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
He was still getting that pilot license, I think.
Nice.
I think he's still in the process of it. That's not to make fun of it, because he apparently does a lot of, like, it came out that he wasn't, like, glory hogging this. It just came out that when there are forest fires and stuff, like, he'll fly planes to help put out fires and stuff.
And so that's awesome.
He does a lot of good stuff. I just was making a poor taste joke about plane crashes, because he's had a couple recently.
Whoa. Poor taste jokes on this podcast.
Oh, no.
I've never seen that before.
Did you want to take your turn? Or did you want me
sure.
To... Okay, all right.
I also went and saw Into the Spider-Verse, which is a fantastic movie.
Yes, it is.
Even though I'm a big Spider-Man fan, I still really enjoyed this movie. The soundtrack's great.
Oh, it's amazing.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, I've seen it. This movie is amazing.
The animation is also really great.
I have to say, it took me about 10 minutes to get in because it looks like...
It's different, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like what they've done is they've dropped frames every now and then, mm-hmm. so... And it, like, watching the trailer, I knew to expect that, like, stop-motion look.
Yeah.
With dropped frames, but I feel like they did it more so in the movie than they advertised. So it took me about 5 or 10 minutes to get used to what I was looking at.
Yeah.
And
it's also interesting the way that they play with colors and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And how it looks like a comic book.
Yeah, I will say, like, if you're epileptic and you're light sensitive, you may want to rethink this movie because there are a lot of colored lights that flash in the end of the movie. Like, there's a large stream of them.
Yeah.
But
did you also notice that each Spider-Man from different universes had different frame rates?
Yeah.
So Spider-Gwen actually has a smoother frame rate.
Yeah.
She has more frames.
And Spider-Man Noir.
Yeah. And Spider-Man Noir, which...
He looks like newsprint.
He does. Yeah. And he's voiced by my favorite actor.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Doing his noir. And then there's another Spider-Man who's an anime, basically, Spider-Man who's...
Yeah, but it's not Silk. Is she in Penny Parker? Is she in
Spider-Man comics? Yeah, I believe all
like
of these characters. Yeah. I believe all these characters were... Yeah,
I know Spider-Ham is. John Mulvaney does Spider-Ham, which... Spider-Ham's funny.
Yeah.
They're talking about giving him a spinoff movie, but it's really? Like, I don't think Spider-Ham's that funny.
No, but they've definitely green-lighted another Into the Spider-Verse.
Good.
So, there's another one coming.
Stay tuned for that post-credit scene, too.
Oh, God, fantastic. That was hilarious. And you know what? I'm glad they threw in all the memes. Like... I enjoyed some of those memes.
Yeah.
And I liked how they went fast on the origin story. They're like, you know this origin story. We all know this origin story.
I will say...
I was bitten by a spider. I got some spider powers. I did something. I did a little bit of this, which I regret. And,
I do appreciate how they do go into each different Spider-Mans.
Yeah.
Because there's a,
And again, the intros are like quick intros, which are really cool.
Yeah, like they wanted to use Tobey Maguire. Well, I think they were actually referencing Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man heavily.
They did.
They didn't use him because apparently he's a big piece of shit. But, yeah, like they heavily reference him or his iteration of
because
Spider-Man.
Because this is Sony's Spider-Man. This is a different Spider-Man in a different universe because... This Spider-Man's not dealing with Infinity Wars.
Yeah. I like the iteration of Peter Parker that you're with in the movie because he's just like out of fucks. Like he's just like whatever. Like
But yeah, it's cool because it references different universes and you know that this is the Sony's Spider-Man's universe. Because, again, they reference a lot of things from the old Spider-Man 1s, 2s, and 3s. And I do like how they take some chances with some things. Like, they do switch up some villains, and I thought that was really cool. And I highly recommend this movie. And the funny thing is, so I went and saw it last Sunday, and it's been out for quite a while. It still drew in a crowd. The theater was pretty packed.
Oh, yeah. When we went, it was slam packed.
Yeah. So I know that it's doing well. And again, yeah, it's been greenlit for a sequel. So I'm happy to see that. I'm a big Spider-Man fan. So I'm always happy to see Spider-Man media.
And I like the villains that they... The way they animated the villains.
Yeah.
I also like how they went with deep cuts.
Yeah.
Like... One of the villains in it that you see, he doesn't have any lines, I don't think.
Nope.
Is Tombstone.
Yeah.
Which, Tombstone
is a very
character from the 80s who's like a hitman.
Yeah.
Like, it's really weird that they chose to go with him, but, like, I'm all for them using obscure
references. Yeah, I mean, and all of these characters were from Spider-Man. Like, they didn't make up any original new Spider-Mans or Spider-Mans or Spider-People.
But I really like the Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I really like one of the things they did when he's... but because if you're not familiar with Miles Morales, he's a kid that gets into kind of an upscale, like, science charter school.
Yeah.
But you see a scene of him going to his regular public school.
Yeah.
And he's walking through the halls, and I love the fact that he, you know, he's obviously mixed race. Mm-hmm. And his mother at home speaks Spanish. So he's speaking Spanish to kids as he's going down the hall. And it's stuff that, like, you don't need to have a subtitle for. But I really appreciate the fact that they showed him, like, interacting with people. And then he goes, oh, wait, no, I'm supposed to start at a different school. And then he has to, like, hightail it to the school he's going to, where he doesn't know anyone. And it's all a bunch of rich, like, white kids running around. But no, I really like the fact that they leaned heavily into Miles Morales. Because it was such a controversial move.
Yeah.
When it shouldn't have been, but...
But it worked out so great.
Yeah.
It, like, the voice actor was great.
Yeah.
The stylization was great. Mm-hmm. The music was great. It didn't feel like it was ham-fisted at all.
Yeah.
It felt like, no, I'm just watching another Spider-Man.
Yep.
Yeah. And I love the movie. I recommend it. And, yeah, that was one of the things that I hadn't gone around to. And I definitely wanted to see it in theaters, just because I know of the, like, animation style and the visual effects. I really wanted to see that on a big screen. I'm glad that I was able to see it.
Yeah.
Also, it was super interesting, because I went on a Sunday. I thought it was going to be really a light Sunday. Not many people were going to be there. There were a bunch of kids there, because the new DBZ Brawly movie had just come out. So there were a bunch of, like, Dragon Ball Z folks out there yelling at their spirit bombs, doing their, like, powering up. So it was funny to see. I saw a guy with, like, a Goku wig on.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny. Hopefully he took that wig off when he sat down in those theater seats, because he was going to block somebody's view. But yeah, that was my Spider-Verse. Go and see it.
Okay. Yeah, definitely go see it. So I watched Moana.
Oh,
finally saw it.
Nice. I've seen it too.
I really like that movie. I mean, I know it's a kids movie.
It's a good one.
But it's a really good one. The thing that I wanted to bring up with it is, watching the movie, I couldn't help myself. Like, whenever I'm taking in media that seems like it can be adapted to something else.
Yeah.
Specifically role-playing games. I'm always like, oh, wow. I really want to play in that game world.
Yeah.
Like, the Polynesian setting. I know that someone kickstarted a Pathfinder campaign setting for something called, like, the Razor Coast, I think, that draws heavily on Polynesian, cosmology and stuff like that.
Nice.
And it reminded me, like, I was thinking, because you don't see a whole lot of non-Western culture adapted for, like, D&D. And when you do, it's like...
It's Asian. It's like, it's usually
Oriental
Asian.
Adventures, which is a
horrible... I'm a samurai with a samurai sword.
Or Rakugan, or stuff like that.
Kunai with chain.
I picked up in a McKay's a while ago. I don't think I have it anymore, and if I do, it's in storage. But it's a D20 setting book called Niambe.
Hmm.
And it draws it. The guy who wrote it is a cultural anthropologist focused on African cultures.
Yeah.
And so all of the character races and gods and powers and stuff draw from African cultures.
Nice.
You can play people who are like children of Anansi, and so, like, they're spidery.
Yeah.
You can play as people who are, like, half man, half, like, tree monkey, like, with tails instead. And it looks like they use, like, halfling traits on it, I think. Only, like, they can also climb really well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really cool setting I never got a chance to play in, but like maybe I can see if I still have it in storage and dust that off.
Yeah.
For something in the future.
So what do you think about the movie?
About Moana? Yeah. I highly recommend it. It's really good. It's a good example. It's like Brave in that it's a good example of a movie where the main character doesn't start out immediately knowing. Like she questions herself the entire time.
Yeah.
And I find that appealing in a piece of media when a character does not necessarily know 100% who they are.
Yeah, and their destiny and everything.
Yeah, like, I like it when they're self-sacrificing, mm-hmm. when they, you know, are unsure of themselves, because so many people are unsure of themselves. I'm, you know, I'm in my 30s, I'm still unsure of myself.
Same here. And, of course, you know, I loved
Maui.
Yeah.
I figured.
with his boisterous attitude and everything. And I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson does a fantastic job voicing him.
Yeah.
You know, he even sings that song, You're Welcome. Yeah. By himself. It's his vocals.
Yep.
I did not know that he was a good singer.
Yep. Jemaine Clements in there as well.
Yeah, from Flight of the Conchords. Yeah.
It's just a fantastic movie. You can watch it with your kids.
Or you can watch it by yourself.
Or you can watch it by yourself. Like, it's one of those movies where I think it's a Pixar movie. It might not be. It might be Disney Animation Studios.
I have no idea.
But, yeah, no, definitely watch it. It's really fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, too.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, I know people who are listening, who have listened to these me's, know I have been struggling through My Hero Academia. I finally finished it. Hurrah!
Oh, so there's not going to be another season?
No, there is going to be another season. Okay. But I finished the third season.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's just been kind of a slow go. I've been watching other things or reading other things. But I sat myself down one day. Yeah. When I had nothing to do, and I marathoned it. And it's good. It's really good. Some of the fight sequences are amazing. Especially in that third season. It's really hit, like, a good act, and so Naruto, I watch Naruto.
Still?
No.
Oh, okay.
Naruto's done. Naruto is done.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Naruto Shippenpo, and now there's Boruto.
Do you watch Boruto?
No, I don't. Okay. I was done. I barely finished Shippenpo. I saw this list of, like, here are the shows that you have to watch to get the plot, and you can miss these shows because they're just filler.
Who cares?
Yeah, they're filler, and who cares? So Naruto actually has some good fight scenes.
Oh, okay.
There are some fight scenes where they throw money into it, and you can see that money in the fight scene. You can be like, oh, wow, that is way better animation quality than, like, the average episode.
Yeah.
Like, you really ramped it up for this cool fight scene. you can definitely tell that in the Hero Academia fights.
Yeah.
But those fights are a lot better than, like, some of the Naruto fights. And there are a lot of, like, cool ambiances and little, like, things that you watch out for. And you're like, oh, that's really awesome.
Oh, cool.
And I can't recommend enough, if you are watching this anime, keep on going with it. Keep on going. there might be, like, a little bit of a struggle in between the second season and the third season, but it really gets a lot better.
Okay.
And some of these fights are really cool. Again, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'm glad I got through it. And I'm looking forward to the fourth season. I think it's going to be really fun, and I'm definitely going to be cosplaying as one of the characters from it. You'll have to find out which one sooner or later, probably for MomoCon or AWA.
Okay.
Or even Dragon Con. Yeah, I might throw up some pictures or something when it actually happens.
Okay. Is it... Now, it's based on a manga.
Yes, it's right? based on it's a manga.
The Shonen Jump?
Yes, Shonen okay. Jump. It's a Shonen.
Are you going to play Jump Force when it comes out?
It's already came out.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it's already come okay. out.
Jump Force is a fighting game, by the way, guys. It uses all the Shonen Jump characters you care about. So, like, Goku, yeah. Naruto.
Yeah.
This guy from...
One Piece. Yeah. Luffy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that great of a fighting game from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a 3D fighter where you sort of like run around a circular arena.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like Pokken?
Yeah, kind of like Pokken.
Oh,
but,
that's bullshit. No.
But it's Pokken on the 3D level because I know that Pokken went 3D and then occasionally it would go 2D.
Hmm.
So it's a lot like the Naruto fighter. Naruto Shippenpo, something. It was a 3D fighter where you would sort of like
gotcha
have that like world view looking, and when your characters got closer, the camera would zoom in a little bit.
Okay,
yeah, it's not that great,
huh?
From what I've heard, well, I haven't sucks. Played it, so you know, I can't personally put an opinion on it. But from what I've seen on Twitch and YouTube, it's not that great from what people are saying.
Okay.
Yeah. So I finally finished My Hero Academia. So now I'm free to watch other anime. So there are other animes that I'm going to watch.
Okay.
I'll probably talk about them.
Okay. Okay. Well, so my last thing then is Lou Reed's album Berlin.
Ah.
My wife in 2017 at Christmas got me this album.
Is it a Christmas album?
No.
Spider-Man Deck the Halls?
It was just a present that she got me, but yeah, it's no Spider-Man Deck the Halls.
such a funny
thing. It's probably one of my favorite Lou Reed albums, which is why she got it for me on vinyl.
Ooh,
this
fancy.
Is the first time I've heard it on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said before, like, there's no, like, scientifically there is a difference, but there's no difference that a human ear can hear. It's just, I like the ritual of, like, wiping the disc down, putting it on the turntable, getting the needle set. Like, I like the ritual behind listening.
Yeah.
It focuses you more to, like, pay attention to what you're listening to.
Yeah, and it doesn't give you a hipster status.
No, not at all. I mean, you can buy a record in Target. I feel like it's not a hipster thing if you can buy a record in Target. Yeah. They don't sell CDs anymore, but they'll sell vinyls because that makes
such a weird. Yeah.
Anyway, so this album came out in 1973, so it's fairly old.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Rolling Stone for its 30th anniversary, of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling Stone put out in 2003 a list of 100 and one of the 500 greatest albums. It was on that list of the 500 greatest albums.
Oh, nice.
In 1973, when it came out, do you want to know what they reviewed it as?
Poor.
A disaster, according to Stephen Davis,
who
is a noted... he's a fairly notable shithead.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the guy that called Lou Reed's other album full of artsy fartsy homo stuff. But like that was that was literally what he said in his review, which is why I quote that.
Yeah.
But now that I think about it, I don't think it's Stephen Davis who said that.
No.
But Stephen Davis did write a really unfair biography of Led Zeppelin that just basically was a book of propaganda.
Yeah.
So he's not a great music review journalist, I don't think. Basically, the album itself is a tragic rock opera.
Oh, okay.
And it's about a doomed couple in Berlin, which is why it's called Berlin.
Nice.
There's a lot of drug use in it,
huh.
Prostitution, depression, suicide, and domestic violence. So it's a tough listen to.
Wow, yeah.
It's very well composed. You know, the makeup on the album is Lou Reed singing and playing all of the acoustic guitar bits. Steve Hunter and Dick Wagner played all of the electric guitars. They were earlier in the career, I think in 72, they were on Transformer. They played with him live for a while, and mm-hmm. then Alice Cooper, the man, used him as his road guitar.
Players,
after they left Lou Reed's circle.
Did not know that.
Jack Bruce played bass. Jack Bruce was in Cream in the 60s.
Yes. He's
a fairly well-known bass player. And then Ainsley Dunbar was the drummer. He's kind of a session drummer. He played with Jeff Beck and Journey, people like that. So he just kind of picks up gigs here and there.
Yeah.
I really do, despite the subject matter, I do really recommend this album. I really like
Do you recommend it with a caveat? Or would you?
I mean, if you're upset by dark, depressing things, don't listen to it because it's a dark, depressing album.
So don't listen to it if you're in a bad place.
Yeah, if you're in a bad place, don't listen to it. I really like Lou Reed's probably one of my top three favorite artists. I'm drawn to people who can't really sing because I feel like I don't feel bad trying to sing along to songs.
that makes sense.
Lou Reed, Iggy Pop, Leonard Cohen, David Bowie, I guess, can actually sing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got a weird voice. But yeah, no. Check out that album if you want to hear. I'm pretty sure it's one of his more well-known albums. It's not as well-known as Transformer. But,
yeah. I have to give it a listen.
Check it out.
You have
Spotify.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was it for me.
That's it for me. So okay. That wraps up another me.
Exactly. So, meta moment. Book club book is Shining.
Yes.
By Stephen King.
Shining.
We'll talk about both the movie in a main show episode and have a book club episode around the Shining.
Yeah.
Novel.
So one will come out one week and the other will come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next thing we'll be at is 221 BCon. They've had us back for doing convention coverage.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
They're like, guys, why don't you guys come back? You're not too weird. Weird, but not too
not
weird.
Not too weird. I love this show. It's probably one of my favorite. It's become one of my favorite shows to go to.
Yeah.
In Atlanta. It's a really good show. And that's genuine. That's not because they've allowed us to come back. But last year was my first year going, and it was really good. Lots of good people there. The panelists knew what they were doing. The attendees were all super nice and friendly, and everyone was in a good place while they were there enjoying this thing.
And I am looking forward to it, too. It was all a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you see us there, feel free to wave at us, come and hug us, or give us a high five if that's your deal.
Give us some
fist bump.
Yeah. That'll be the first weekend in April. So that's April 5th, 6th, and 7th.
That's right.
And hopefully we'll see you guys there.
Yeah. And again, if you ever want to write to us, you can write to us at
backrowsupershow@gmail.com.
Yep.
You can go to our Facebook, which is Backrow Supershow, four separate words.
Mm-hmm.
We have a
Nerd Fight.
Nerd Fight. Pew, it's pew, a bracket pew, where we hit two IP properties against each other and see which one wins. And you guys are the ones that decide that. You guys will vote on the poll and determine who progresses and who gets stomped into the trash bin.
And it hurts.
It hurts sometimes.
It hurts.
It's really bad. It's
It cuts deep.
It's, you know, because we collaborate on these. Each bracket is 16 people. And sometimes, you know, you're like, I know this one's going to win, and then it just gets set on fire and thrown into the ocean.
And you're like, why?
Just like, why? Why does no one like this thing?
I
like it so much. Why did it get stomped out? But
anyway,
take part in that. I think we're going to be reinstituting the prize giveaways, so we'll see what we do there.
And there will be some interesting things coming up for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we will share at a later date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, All that being said, we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.